In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever made a big decision? What went into the process? How did you know what to do? In life, we're faced with many decisions. They could be related to education, what career to pursue, a change in one's job, or fulfilling a life calling. It could be the decision of moving to another city or house, the transition to a retirement community, or to live with family. It could be the question of entering into or leaving a relationship, parenthood, adoption, or not having kids. That everyone should get married and have children used to go without saying in our society. But thankfully, there's more freedom and acceptance now that not all paths are right for everyone. Additionally, the decision could be about serving in a new ministry, volunteering, or launching a new initiative. It could be to step back from things or focus more in one area. It could be the question of ordination. As Christians, we are all ordained to ministry through our baptism. And then some people will be called to serve as deacons, priests, or bishops. A decision that many are considering right now is one of civic engagement. Yesterday at the Women's March, one of the key messages was, if we aren't happy with the way things are, what role do we personally play in bringing about change? There's also decisions that are geared more for the second half of life. We put a lot of time and energy into the first half of life decisions, those of forming identity and achieving stability. But as Richard Rohr points out in the book Falling Upward, the second half of life gives a whole other opportunity to try something new. Too often, we don't do enough discernment around this decision or explore its possibility. But in the second half of life, we have the benefit of wisdom and experience to bring to our pursuits. Today's gospel is about four individuals who make a big decision. Here Jesus invites Simon, Andrew, James, and John to follow him, which they do without hesitation. The nets are dropped unceremoniously on the floor, and poor old Zebedee is left in the boat with the hired help. We're meant to see through the story that there was something spectacular about both the call and their instantaneous decision. And we often wonder how they were able to do it. But though there isn't much that's said about their lives before that moment, we can imagine the kind of things that went into their decision. Like God's Spirit moving in them, preparing them for a change. Maybe giving them the sense that there was something they were supposed to be doing, but didn't know what. Maybe the preparation came as they were walking the streets of Galilee, seeing the poor, sick, and forgotten, wishing there was something they could do. And though they had no experience in preaching, healing, casting out demons, or other standard disciple stuff, there's a way in which these men were being prepared for discipleship through another discipline. Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Using their current profession as a metaphor for their soon-to-be vocation, he makes an important connection. What they already knew and are good at would translate. As fishermen, you go where the fish are, cast a wide net, see what comes in, and do it again. As a disciple, you go where the people are, cast God's love far and wide, see who responds, do it again. When we, like the disciples, are faced with a big decision, there are also ways that God prepares us and guides us. We can look for cues that the Holy Spirit is moving within, such as when we notice our passion increasing around an issue or idea, or when we get restless in what we're currently doing. As an example, I remember when I was in college, I had so much anxiety about what I was supposed to do with my life. I started out in film and broadcast, but living and working in LA, I realized I didn't have the passion for those professions that you needed to succeed in that industry. At the same time, I was becoming enthralled in my Bible classes, philosophy, and creative writing. But dabbling in those didn't seem to amount to a job. And then I did a philosophy course on community. I began to understand that what I wanted to do with my life was facilitate community. But I didn't see any models of what I had in mind. Then when my husband and I found the Episcopal Church, and I saw the way that the community interacted and what it stood for, almost instantly I knew that's what I had been wanting to do. If I had a boat to leap out of, I would have. Of course, another part of me said, no, that can't be right. You've only been at this church a few weeks. But I let myself try on the idea, nothing more than a test run to see how it felt. And soon after, the anxiety turned to peace. About a year later, I went and I talked to our priest, who said he had been sensing the same thing. And as I look back, I see how my diverse studies were the perfect preparation for this job. All right, Deacon Doug, you're on deck. Just didn't want to make him have to tell that story about him and his husband becoming priests in the Episcopal Church when he's got a wonderful wife right here. Right here. Another thing we can ask ourselves. Is your mic on?
I realize I have a lot to follow here. Another thing we can ask ourselves when we have a decision to make is this something I like to do? Will doing it bring me joy or produce something that will make the work worth it? Does it fit in with my gifting? Often God's call aligns with our talents, interests, and skills, just as it did for the fishermen who became fishers of humanity. I heard this expressed recently in two different conversations I had with educators. They were telling me how they came to teaching, and both said, when I started teaching, I couldn't believe I was getting paid for it. What a wonderful confirmation that they were where they were supposed to be. As part of this, through God's call, may be challenging. Scarcely does God call us to things that we hate. Today's story of Jonah may seem to contradict this, because Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, went in the other direction, and ended up getting swallowed by that whale or some big fish. But remember that Jonah was called to be a prophet, and that was something that he really was good at. His criminology?
Curmudgeonly. I don't know, I might have made that one up.
It's not in my lexicon. But that was a perfect way for him to give a turn or burn message. When he actually got to Nineveh and gave God's message, it was quite effective. So we see Jonah's issue wasn't a lack of desire or skill around prophecy. It's that his heart wasn't in the right place. He wanted the Ninevites to get what they deserved. Attitudes like this are exactly the kind of thing God will call us to change. But outside of that, Jonah and the prophecy were a great match. Finally, though this wasn't part of the story, when we're making big decisions or feeling like we need to, we have the added benefit of community. In our tradition, if someone is feeling a call to the priesthood or diaconate, we arrange a discernment committee to listen and explore if this call should be pursued. But discernment groups can also be formed around lay ministries and other life choices. Talking to a group who actively listen and gives feedback can be a great source of direction and support. Sometimes hearing oneself say something out loud can make all the difference. Intentional listening can happen informally, too. You can ask someone to listen to you, think out loud, and let you know what they hear. Myself and Andrea, our priest, are also happy to have these conversations, and you're most welcome at any time. As we read stories of people being called to different things in this season of Epiphany, we can consider if there are decisions before us today. Is the Spirit nudging us toward something? How might things we love and are good at reveal such a call? And is there anyone that we should be bringing into the conversation? As we explore all these questions, I hope that we find passion as well as peace, along with some of that great, great energy that propelled the disciples forward. Amen.